taking pictures of the sow. I saw an old sawmill in there. I think Nierhoff may have had something to do with that, related to his ferry boats, because they were built just south of that location. But here we have, of course, the ferry lunchroom, which and there were rooms upstairs to be rented, and this was built by Marie and Auguste Bardot. And Marie was a colorful person in her way, and Auguste was a deckhand on my dad's crew for 32 years. But they built that building and opened it for business on the 4th of July in 1924. And it had several owners after they sold, and it lasted up to where the legislation came through and the Port Commission made a park out of that area. But we passed the red and white store that was across the road from the Bardot lunchroom. You can see the automobile that looks like a Model A Ford sedan. So 35 is a good time for this. Okay, we'll continue the... There's houses, and there's the Ralph McGinnis house, which still stands today. That house and the one just to the left of it, out of the picture, were constructed initially by Tom Berg, who owned the property and was trying to seek out some renters. And the house on the far right started to build in 1929. They were a family from Seattle, Jack Yostein Sr. He was on the Seattle Police Force, and his wife Gretchen and their two sons, Jack and Junior and Bert, they spent many summers there. Big Jack would go down and work with the force and then come back for weekends. And Jack Yostein, the oldest boy, and I became very close friends. He was, he must have been 5 years old. I was about 7 years old when he walked over to my place, which is just the next one over. He would walk over and say, "Do you want me to play with you?" And okay, that started in 1929 and lasted until our friendship lasted until his passing in 1980. And there's that family house of mine. I was very close to that. We moved on to the property when I was 6 years old, ready to start grade school. And the parents bought the property from Tom Berg, had Oscar Elf Sr., who was a career carpenter. He built the house. It was a one-story version at first, and then in 1933, the second story was added. And I was in my glory with my theater and my den room in that house. As we look at the front where the bulkhead is, that locates where the tide came up twice a day to cover the beach entirely. Now, in front of the location where my old house is, it's a good 100 feet out from that outline that is shown there, and just basically through shore currents moving sand, catching sand and building it gradually over the years. Come on, let's keep going here. Okay, there's Gordon Erickson, who made a name for himself around South Whidbey. He passed away a couple of years ago at age 89. He was a year and a day older than me. He's the son of the son of Joe and Zelma Erickson, who later took ownership of that store that the Bardolls first formed. And Gord's, he's about 13 in this picture. A very gutsy guy. We'll see him doing things here. Okay, there's Carl Matson, another boy in the community, rowing a boat. And here's Gordon diving off the dock. And it was all I could do to hold the camera steady. I was quivering so much. And here's of the Yosting family. That's the brother of Mrs. Yosting, out here visiting from Colorado. And there's a rather gruesome picture of myself and Jack Yosting as we attempted to have some motion by walking toward the camera. I hesitated to even add that film because it's so ghastly, but that was realism. Now here's a little activity for the family. That was our family rowboat. We named it the Gypsy because Reed Fulton's story, Reed Fulton, who was in Clinton, wrote the Powder Dock Mystery, laid down at Possession Point, and they had a yacht in their story called the Gypsy. So that was the Gypsy. And we're having people getting into the rowboat. This was a trick photography thing to entertain people that I found in my motion picture cinema book. And my step-granddad pushing out my uncle, the husband of the lady whose chair I have. We came out here and surprise, just disappeared. What happened? And incidentally, the little boat anchored out there is a fish boat owned and used by Carl Berquist of the Berquist family in Clinton. And the wife of Carl Berquist was Esther Moe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she and Carl went separate ways, and especially after their little son Billy died of a blood clot after an appendix operation. Mm-hmm. And then Esther's, she was related to Clinton. She and Carl had a place up there across from the Elf place in Clinton. And we'll pick up Esther in my mother's bridge club a little later. But In any case, this was intended to be a trick. And, you know, there's all those folks who are in the boat. Where did the boat go? What happened? And everybody wonders what happened. And I messed this up by moving the camera, but my grandpa was a good actor, you know, trying to figure out where that thing went. And if I just kept the camera the same way, if I'd done what I should have done, it would have come right in his hands in much more of a dramatic fashion. But anyway, it's the way we entertained ourselves. Okay, here's now here's a dose of the Clinton. I think the first person there is Esther. Burke was Mo with her son Billy growing here. And like I say, she made a big name around Langley, around South Ridby, mm-hmm. you know, and the lodge, local lodge chapter right. named after her. Yeah, so she was even my teacher for a little while. And the lady just behind the boy is Marty Humphrey, of the three Humphrey boys living on what is now called Humphrey Road. And who else have we got? Let's see. The lady in the patterned dress, I believe that's Helma Erickson. I believe Gus Erickson's wife, of the multi-Erickson family of early Clinton. And I believe that's Emma Jensen Melling behind her with two of her kids. Loretta would be one of them. Let's see. Who else have we got? Oh. Yeah, now. Excuse me. My picture with the larger lady was Mrs. Yosting from next door. And my Aunt Lita from Everett was in there. And my mother was in two bridge clubs, one on Whidbey Island, and one from Everett. And once a year, the Everett Bridge Club would come over and have a picnic and play cards all afternoon. And that's these other people. Now that's the lady with her back to us in the white smock is not from Everett. She is Gertrude Carrington, the wife of Fred Carrington from Langley. And she and my mother got acquainted early years in Langley when we lived there. And she was quite a character. Gertrude was quite a character, but a good person. And my Aunt Lita again, and they're just my grandmother, and they had just escorted them out to the ferry and said goodbye. Now here's my mother, and here is Fred Carrington's sister, Patsy, and she married a successful businessman in Portland, and he loved fishing, and he loved my mother's cooking, and so they were always invited. Fred and Gertrude were down at the island place a lot at that time. So the next scene is my dad rowing Billy Bichon out to go looking for fishing. There they are. And this is not that trip, but it's typical of my dad going out fishing. And some of these frames were used for exhibits in the museum. But I always amazed how close the water came in high tide. Okay, snow. I'm just running in out of the snow. This is the backyard of the family place at the end of the road north of the ferry dock. And the swing is something my Grandpa Wolf made. He made more than one. And the snow was, you know what? And my mother coming out during the snow.
And that road, the roadbed is exactly the same roadbed, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
So you can see how much out the beach is built up.
Right. Now, here's a panorama from the road. Well, now there's the house. And if you look down in the distance, the building down at the water level in the distance is the first electric power plant house building for the town of Clinton, at least along the beach. Mm-hmm. And that was Tom Berg again of Clinton. He built a wooden water tank holder there up near the road, holding ground water that would keep feeding into the tank. And the tank was large enough to have water go down to that building there and go into a turbo generator and keep some low-powered lights going. And we had electricity. And then during the day, the time would be allowed to for the tank to build up again, have enough pressure head to take us through another night. Okay, trying to find them. Okay, here's a Christmas gathering. We're getting ready for Christmas, at least. This is inside the house in the winter. In the 30s, 36 or 7, along in there. I think I got some super sensitive film to catch this with a little lighting. And there again, my dad and my grandmother, my mother, my granddad, Will Wolf, and myself. I was an only child in most of these adult gatherings. That's having dinner off a table my dad made. He got the idea from Peter Camperman. Okay, here's something kind of strange. This is on the deck of the Quileute.
Okay.
When the ferry Quileute was on the, would be run for a few days. And my mother on the left and my dad on the right. And in the middle with the lady with the red hat is the, you might say, the sister-in-law of, the step-sister-in-law of my mother. And my mother's stepbrother was the husband of the lady in the red hat, and he had just been recently killed in a construction accident. He worked for a construction company, and she'd come up to see you know, his dad and explain the whole thing to everybody. So there they were. Now my lens got out of focus, so we don't see Lillian that well. But it was good that she came up from Los Angeles. Okay, and here's Don Erickson, son of the older brother of Gordon Erickson, and you get the illusion that he got in the plane and flew that away, but he did not. Just pulled up on the beach and stopped a while and got in. Now we go up the island. Here's Greenbank. Here's the old Calvin Phillips dairy farm in the area now, which is quite a business section. Yeah. And there's
Pratt's.
Yeah, and there's the fishing resort at Knight's Point.
Yeah. That was north of, that's actually at Pratt's, and that was just behind the farm. Dines Point was a little farther south.
Really?
Yeah. That, because if you go backward on that, you see the barns, and yeah. But this was Pratt's Resort, and I have some 1930 pictures that show those cabins.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now
and the resort and there was a big hotel about where the picture is actually being taken, and I don't know how long that lasted, but I think it was started about 1908.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Yeah.
And that would not be Dines Point up in the distance.
No. So this isn't Dines Point.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you got me there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, we took a frame out of that in that fishing resort exhibit at the museum. Come on, let's sit back there. There I am.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now, would that have been the
yep. See? Yeah, and
now Pratt, you don't mean Pratt, the wealthy family retired up by Ivy Landing.
I don't know how wealthy. I know it was Pratt's Resort.
Uh-huh.
And of course that's community. Right?
So, but these are the Phillips cows. I mean, Calvin Phillips cows for the dairy that he had them. Sorry that my voice is getting so raspy. I'm running out. You in the same place. I was a panoramic kid, anyway. Now here's I think I've called this West Beach because it was just immediately west of the head of Penn Cove. And we're out walking the, playing like it's a tropical land somewhere. And I'm going to try to get a surfboard into the water. I've got a towel around my bathing suit. And sitting on the log is Mary Crum from the mainland, my first girlfriend, before Tally. But Tally, my mother, I don't know why my mother did it. She had a luncheon with Mary and her mother at the beach and invited Tally to come in. I don't know. But this is just, I'm trying to be funny. Probably Lopez Island in the background. Here's Deception Pass in just before the bridge was really underway. And you can see there's still work. They're working on the approaches, and I guess the CCC camp doing that. You know, this, all the piers are white, which was the way it was at the time it opened in 1935. And that plaque is there now. My dad and my step-grandad there. I don't know what that was. Now we've got some boat races. This has got to be in Anacortes. That's Guaymas Island in the background. And one summer they had a regatta there. And this is also a boat race, and I can't tell you where. It got quite interested in this because kept buying Johnson Motors from Pat Cummins, who was right here, in his Everett shop on Rucker Avenue. And he won a lot of races. And now here's a... through this in, here's the carnival part of the Puyallup State Fair in September 1940. Mm. And Tally's with me that time, actually, but no picture. No picture of me or Tally or my parents. I just saw some motion and got excited in terms of my camera. Okay, now here we're coming into Friday Harbor. Or I should say leaving Friday Harbor. Well, that's all right. We did both. It's on a trip on the ferry Quilcene, running from, I guess, from Sydney down to Anacortes. Here's the landing at Orcas. There's the landing at Shaw, and the old landing at Lopez, upright head. And this is 1935. And here's the landing at Anacortes. And the traumatic part about that was that we were up in the pilot house with Captain Sam Barlow, who was one of the natives of Lopez Island, and he worked his way up into being maritime captain in many places. And then he came back for the run. My mother said, "Captain Barlow, how do you possibly know where all the rocks are on this ferry run?" He said, "Well, I don't, ma'am, but I do know where there aren't any." And now we have this scene originally from the Whidbey Island travelogue, the ferry beeline. The ferry beeline is a good example of converted passenger and freight boats to make a to become a ferry boat, and she had a good steam engine in her, and she made a lot of good time, but single-ended because the freight passenger freight boat was single-ended. And this is the old dock at Keystone. Today you go out and see a little parking lot out by that location. Some of the cement items remaining, otherwise everything's gone. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's leaving Columbia Beach. Now you can see Orr's cabins and the and the star, the red and white star that was located there for so long. And that think of today's ferry dock and the single lane dock of that time. Not even a passenger walkway separating you from the automobiles. Yeah. I used to take my dad's lunch out there many times. And my piano teacher and her daughter and a friend, my dad with the three stripes on his uniform, taking them down. Charlie Christens sitting on the bench there. He was the engineer. This is the ferry Puget. Again, built in before 1910, south of Tacoma somewhere, as a passenger freight boat. It was converted. And of course, Charlie wouldn't be pictured. But now we're in Seattle. There's the Black Ball Line dock that was located at Coleman Dock. And the Black Ball Line was in the saddle those days. They controlled all the ferry boats, most of them. And here is the ferry Chippewa. Again, a single-ender converted from a passenger boat in the Great Lakes. And here's the ferry Cross Line leaving,
would that have been Muckleshoot?
No, that was out of Seattle for Manchester. Mm. And here comes one of the California Steel Electrics, as they were called. There were four of them. And I can't tell if that's the Illihee. The Illihee was used very much on the runs going over to the Bainbridge Island and the Kitsap Peninsula. And this is pretty much the way they looked when they were brought up here from California. But they served well. I'm sorry they condemned those hulls. I think they could have used the superstructure on a new hull, done just fine. Okay, here's another story. This is the dismantling of the ferry City of Angeles, a sort of a big sister boat to the Puget, and built in before 1910 down the Sound. And passenger freight originally, maybe something, but the car deck was closed at the stern end, and as the automobile industry came in to require that something be provided for them to cross on the water, where then the City of Angeles came into use. And it was mostly used on the San Juan Island run, and but it was on the run at Columbia Beach, Mukilteo, for a few days at a time on many different occasions. I love that boat. We have a picture of it in its total form, and the twin steam engines below, and just for me as a kid to go up in the pilot house with my dad and see two telegraphs, that was something, you know, one for each engine.
One for each engine.
Yeah, and But I got it. It was finally sold and condemned. So here we are. But she was mostly on the San Juan Island run. And this was at Picnic Point, south of Muckleshoot, north of Edmonds. Now, I don't know what that's about, but that's the ferry Vashon tied up at the, at the waterfront in Seattle. And it's still, there's still a white ring around the stack, which means it's still part of the Kitsap County Transportation Company, which went broke during, just after the strike of the ferry workers in 1935. And Alex Peabody of the Black Bull Line had bought out the Kitsap Company and bought all the ferry boats. And we used them a lot. They were placed in our run a lot. Let's keep going here. A tall building. Smith Tower, Tally and I went up to the top, very top. That's my grandparents on the Kalakala, watching the Quileute come most likely over to Manchester. And there's the Chippewa again. Magnificent boat. There was, there had been a radio program broadcast from there. Here comes the Puget, and there again, this is Columbia Beach. You can see the dock facing toward Head Island, kind of northerly, and it served its purpose in that position because most of the ferry boats were single enders, and it could save a lot of time by just coming in, backing in. So there we are.
Was that 1939 that they moved it to the south?
Yes.
Okay.
Because to accommodate the Vashon,
okay,
of all things. I don't know if I'm a very entertaining speaker or not right now. Come on, you. But there it is. Now, I think in a different day, I have this same scene, but I'm in my rowboat and I can be closer to the ferry boat. And of course, the engine was out of the ferry Whidbey, which served Langley and the island. Now there's Augie Bardolph waving just before he went down to take the landing. Now here's here's a double-ended ferry boat. The Washington, brought up from the Columbia River. It has a sister vessel called the Oregon. And they got that for a good price, no doubt. But it is a double-ender. Give it credit for that. But it's... and I don't know. I'm showing the pile driver. Here's that same scene in the wintertime. There's a store back there. The Atalanta, which served everybody from Seattle to Oak Harbor. Here, to me, personally, is just a real dramatic time. This is October. It was October of 1937, 2 years after the, after the collapse. And